Kof Adar Rishon, Monday the 25th of February, by Rav Mordechai Weiss, The Secret of Spiritual Growth.
I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Reb Dudi for giving me the opportunity to be part of such a wonderful program. Start today the Torah way. For me, every single time, it's a privilege, and I'm honored to be part of it. This week's parasha, we find a very interesting pasuk. Pasuk starts that all the Eden brought all the donations to the Mishkan, and it says there that the Nasiim also donated their donation. Now, the word Nasi usually is spelt Niyin, Shiyin, Yin, Aleph. And the Pasuk misses out the Yid, the Yud, misses out on purpose. And Rashi is very bothered, why did the Pasuk spell the word Nasiim without the letter Yid? Rashi brings a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash, it says as follows. It says, when all the Eden came to bring the donation to the Mishkan, the Nasiim decided that they're going to give the biggest donation. So what they said is as follows. They said, we're going to let all the Eden bring their donation first. Whatever's going to be left afterwards, we're going to fill in the blank. We're going to fill all the blank space, we're going to fill in. So Rashi, that what happened at the end, we all know what happened at the end, that the Eden brought and bought more and more and more. There was nothing left for them to bring, and they were very bothered. That's why when it came to the Mizbeach, they decided that they're not going to wait till the end. They're going to be the first ones to do the Chanukah HaMizbeach. Says Rashi, that because they were nisatzel, to a certain extent, they were lazy, they did not do it straight away, they pushed it off from giving their donation, so therefore the Torah took out the letter Yud from their name and spelt the word Nasiim without the letter Yud. That's what Rashi says. And this Medrash obviously needs to have a lot of Perish. Let's imagine for a moment that you're heading a big organization and you need to raise an emergency, appeal to raise £5 million. £5 million. So of course you have to go abroad, go to America, and you spend the whole week there trying to raise from here and from there. And you manage to raise £500,000. £500,000 you manage to raise. You come into this very wealthy fellow and you tell him about this organization and he's very, very impressed. He's extremely taken aback. And he says, you know what? How much money do you need altogether? How much is this whole project going to cost? £5 million. How much have you raised? £500,000. How long is still planning on being here in America? Another week. You know what? Let's make a deal. I'm not going to give you anything now. Come back to me the day before you leave. Anything which you have managed to raise, I'll fill in the blank check. Everything on me. So you just try your best, do the best you could, and the rest I'll take upon myself. Now let's think for a moment. Would we be angry with this fellow? Or would we be thrilled? I mean, I think I probably would be extremely thrilled. Now even let's say that we did manage to raise the entire £5 million, and we didn't have to come up to this fellow. I think I would still, in a certain extent, his donation, his wanting to give, probably is a lot greater than all the other donations. He was willing to give, to sacrifice, to give away up to the £5 million. So why didn't the Nasiim deserve to be punished and have a yid taken out of their name? But all they did is that they promised that anything which is going to be left, they're going to donate. So I think, to a certain extent, that's a very, very great sacrifice
maybe
on their behalf.
Said, I'll give you something now, and then come back to me.
Well, what?
Maybe you should have said, I'll give you something now. Here's...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Then if you're going to say that, I'm not going to have anything left to say now. So we'll have to... what?
Nasi.
Hanasiim. The word Nasiim is spelled without the yud, yeah. And then the next question is, why, picked from all the letters, why did Hashem choose to take out the letter Yud? What's the significance of the letter Yud? You could have taken out the Niyan or the Shion or any other letter. And the main question is, how does this message apply to us? As we know, the Torah is nitzchias. Every single pasuk of the Torah has to be relevant for every single lead, every single generation. What message could we take out from this pasuk? So coming back to the title of today's Shia, was, what is the secret to spiritual growth? That was the title. I'd like to rephrase it in a different way. In a question, you have two people who are in the Middle Ages, maybe even a little older than that, and they both were grew up in the same family, the same type of background, they had exactly the same kishroinus, IQ, they were exactly on the same level. One of them managed to grow spiritually tremendously, and he grew up to become extremely, extremely great, and the other one stayed a very average, simple person. And this fellow thinks to himself, why am I different to my friend? Why was he privileged? What did he do different to me? We both have the same desires, the same wants, same ritzoinus, same she'ifas, we have the same aspirations. Why did he manage to achieve what he achieved and I did? Obviously, there must be some secret to this thing. I'd like to share with you the secret, obviously, in the Svarim HaKdoshim, and this is based on a Ramban in Shir HaShirim. The way it goes is as follows. The person, Hashem knows exactly where this person is meant to get throughout his life. Every person has a place where he's meant to arrive, he's meant to achieve, a goal that he's meant to achieve. He's meant to grow to a certain extent. What the Ribbono Shel Olam does is he sends the person inspiration. He's constantly sending him inspiration and wake-up calls. And this could come, as we're going to see soon, in many, many different formats it could come. Very often it would be in the format of a lecture, of a shiur. Very often it would be seeing something in a sefer, seeing something in a book. Very often it would be going through different times of the year when it comes a Yom Kippur or a Rosh Hashanah and the person feels very elevated and feels very, very inspired. Very often it would be different events that happen in the world, some to the better and some otherwise, which this gives the person a wake-up call. It could come in many, many, many different formats. These are little wake-up calls. The Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to guide the person. He wants the person to pick up on these wake-up calls and do something about them and move forward. If the person would listen to all these little wake-up calls, eventually he would get to his destination. But the way it works is as follows. Let's imagine for a moment, imaginary scenario. Let's imagine there's a new program that opened up, a new online program. Yes, we all know that there's something called Amazon. Now, let's say something opened up, which is competition with Amazon. It works a lot better than Amazon. The way it works is as follows. Someone who manages to go in there, you can buy everything you sell on Amazon, but for a quarter of the price. Anything you get on Amazon, a quarter of the price you can get on this thing. And you can get deals there, you could literally save thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. Anything you can get there. But here's the catch. The way it works is as follows. It sends you a link. As soon as a sale comes out, it sends a link to your email. Whoever catches the link on the spot and presses the link button goes in and he's able to buy whatever he wants. But if you miss the link, and the link is only there for one, it's there literally for a second. You have to catch it as it comes up, you press it, you're in. If you didn't press it on the moment, you lost it. That's the way it works. That's it. Such a program. This is the way it works with us. And the way that it works with us for us. Whenever we have an inspiration that we have to know, it's not just an inspiration. It's not just Hashem is sending us a wake-up call. It's a lot deeper than that. With every inspiration that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us, he sends us siyata d'shmaya, which means divine assistance and tremendous strength and tremendous koiches, that we are able, if we use up this inspiration and we do something about it, we are going to be able to grow. Even though we don't feel that we have the strength and we're not able to do anything about it. But together with the inspiration, because the inspiration is not just something which comes by itself. It's being sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And since it's being sent by him, then it comes together with a package deal. It comes together with this tremendous siyata d'shmaya, divine assistance that assists the person to get to wherever he could. But, here's the but. The but is there's an expiry date. Which means that if you didn't catch it, if you didn't press the link immediately, you've lost it. Then you're going to have to wait for the next one. But this one, this opportunity has been lost forever, forever and forever. So why is it that people, when they get inspired, why don't they do anything about it? Why do they not press the link button? And the answer is very, very simple. People are scared to take upon themselves and to commit themselves to things which are big. So let's say, for instance, I was very, very inspired about having to give away more time to learning Torah. Let's say, for instance. So I think to myself, I'm going to take upon myself to learn an extra hour of the day. I mean, who says I'll be able to do it? This is something which has to be done. I have to sit down, think about it, go through my whole schedule, my whole day, see if I have time, and if I'm able to do it, if I'm not able to do it. How could I just commit myself to do something without thinking twice? I'm putting myself into something. Don't forget, this commitment has to be a true commitment. I can't just say I'm going to do it without really, really being. So that's why what people do is, they think to themselves, you know what, I'm going to get home. Next week, I'm going to sit down. And I think to myself, take a paper, take a list, write down all the times I have throughout the day, and I'll see if I have time to give away to this thing. But the obvious problem with that is that since they pushed it off and they didn't grab hold of it, they didn't press the link, then they've lost it. They haven't got the divine assistance anymore, so they've lost the opportunity. So how do we tackle these two things? How do we deal with these two things? The answer is very, very simple. The answer is commit yourself to something tiny. Something extremely, extremely, extremely small. Something that you could take upon yourself, commit to straight away. So, it's true, if you want to commit yourself to something big, then you're going to have to give time, and you can't do it straight away, because it's not going to be a true commitment. But to something extremely, very, very small. So let's say you were very, very inspired about starting to learn more. I think I could give away another 5 minutes a day. I think I'm done. Let's say 2 minutes a day. I think I could do that. So why don't, the first thing I have to do, commit myself to 2 minutes a day. If you did that, you press the link. You're in. You're in the game. Once you're in the game, you have this tremendous Yata Deshmaya. But here's the catch. It's a lot more than that. Once you've pressed the link and you're in, then not only do you have divine assistance to actually be able to do the commitment, the 2 minutes that you've, or the 5 minutes that you've committed yourself to, but once you're in, you're already going to have the whole divine assistance, the whole Siyata Deshmaya, to be able to take upon yourself much, much bigger things. Because once you're in that site, once you've pressed the link and you're in the game, then everything is open for you. All the treasures are open for you. All the Siyata Deshmaya is all there. The only thing is you have to be in. And the only way to get in is by pressing the link straight away. You've committed yourself to a tiny, tiny, tiny little thing. By doing that, you're in. Once you're in, everything is open for you. And this is something that Chazal, Hagdoshim, tell us. They say, a famous Gemara says, the Rebbein Shalom tells a person, Pischili Pesach Kechudei Shamacha. I want you to open a little door, a little crack, as big as a needle point. Tiny, tiny little crack. Vani Eftach Lechem Pischoi Kepischoi Shal Ulam. I'll open a big, huge hole, a big, huge room, a ballroom. I'll open, you open the tiny little crack, and I'll do the rest for you. All you need to do is press the link and get in. Once you're in, then you're in. So let's say, for instance, a person was inspired to, let's say, donate money to a certain cause. So he thinks to himself, you know, I'm going to commit to a huge amount of money. Who says, first thing, what could you commit straight away without even thinking twice? Do that. If you could do that without thinking, then do that. Once you've done that, you're in. The rest, once you're in the game, then you already have the Siyata Deshmaya, you could commit yourself a lot more later on. But the first thing is, you have to take that tiny, tiny, tiny little step. Once you take a tiny little step, then you're in. Chazal HaKadoshim tell us, the Usa Dovay, when Mashiach is going to come, the Rebbein Shalom is going to take this Yetzirah, the Sutan, and he's going to shecht the Sutan in front of everyone. It says the Tzadikim and the Rishu, and both are going to come along, and they're going to look at the Sutan, and they're both going to start crying. It says, Tzadikim nidme lehem kechit asar. Sorry, kahor. The Tzadikim are going to look at the Sutan, and the Sutan is going to look in their eyes like a huge, huge mountain. And they're going to think to themselves, wow, how were we able to overcome this huge mountain? The same time, the Rishuim are going to look at the same thing. In their eyes, it's going to look like a tiny little chitasar, like a little thread. And they're going to start crying. They're going to think, if the Yetzer was all but a little thread, why were we not able to overcome the Yetzer? So the obvious question is, who is saying the truth? Hashem doesn't just do things and make things in disguise. Is the Yetzer, is he a huge mountain? Or is he a tiny little thread? The answer is very, very simple. All the Rebbein Shlom wanted the person to do is this tiny little step, this chit hasar, the pischli pesach kechudei shamachat. All the person has to do is press the link, just commit yourself to a tiny, tiny little thing. Once you've done that, then the rest is history. Now, that means eventually you are going to be able to overcome the mountain. But that's really not going to be from you. That's going to be already divine assistance. That's going to be Siyata Deshmaya. All you had to do was one thing. You had to simply do the chudash al machat, do the tiny little crack, and the rest is history. That's the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So the tzaddikim, they're crying because they see what they were able to overcome, because eventually they're able to overcome the mountains. Whereas the Rishuim, they are crying because for them it's a chit asar. Because all the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted them to do is this tiny little step, this tiny little crack. Coming back to what we said, that inspiration could come in many, many different ways. It could come in the format, as we said, a drosha, a lecture, something you see in a sefer, something you hear from another person, different events that happen. But the Baal Shem Tov teaches that it could come in different ways also. He says very often the Rebbeinu Shloim sends a person a message, and it could even be in the format of hearing things from different people. The famous story goes that there was one of the Talmidim, one of the first disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, he was a famous Toldos Yaakov Yosef. He gave up a sefer called Toldos Yaakov Yosef. So he became one of the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, and he was sitting learning with his Rebbe, with the Baal Shem Tov, he was sitting learning with him. In the middle, there was a knock on the door, and the handyman came in. He was a regular handyman, a goy that lived in the area. He used to come very often to fix little things, to fix the table, fix the chairs, and different things that were broken in the house. And he asked the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, do you have anything for me to fix? So the Baal Shem Tov says, I'm sorry, everything is okay, I have nothing for you to fix. So he calls up and he says, Rebbe, I'm sure if you would look properly, you would find something that needs fixing. The Baal Shem Tov became all red and became all slavistic, and he told the Yaakov Yosef, did he hear what this guy said? So the Toldos said, yes, I heard. He said that he wants to find something to fix. No. You heard what he said? He said, if you are going to look properly, you're going to find something that has to be fixed. He was talking to us. It's the Baal Shem Tov that was sending us a message. He sent through the body, but he's sending us a message. Toldos Yaakov Yosef said, nah, I don't believe in that. If Rabbi Shlomo would want to send me a message, he wouldn't use that John to send me a message. He would use a Yid, he would use a Chosh of a person to send a message. He wouldn't use a lowly Goy to give us this message. Hashem Tov said it's not true. Every little thing that happens in the world is by Hashkocha Protus, by divine providence. Nothing happens by itself. If the Rabbi Shlomo sent this Goy to my house to say this comment, then there's a message that the Rabbi Shlomo is trying to send me a hint. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef said, sorry, I can't accept that. Hashem Tov told him, you can accept that. You don't want to accept it, but you can accept it. Okay, Toldos Yaakov Yosef left the house of the Hashem Tov. As he's walking out, there's a big wagon coming down the road, full of hay, stacked up with hay. And there's a guy sitting inside, and he sees the Toldos Yaakov Yosef there standing by the side, and he says, Jew, how about you come along and help me unload my wagon? So, you know, he saw this big, huge load, and himself, he was a short little person, and he saw there was no way he was going to be able to do that, so he said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So the guy said, not you can't, you can, you just simply don't want to. That's what he said, and he was saying exactly the same words that the Baal Shem Tov told him a few minutes ago. So he walked right back, and went back to the Baal Shem Tov and said, okay, I believe, I give in, you were right. But everything Hashem sends us is all a message from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And it happens many, many times to people who just look around to get these messages from all over the place. I remember when I went through my second driving test. Actually, I think it was the first one, the second one I passed. The first one, I failed. So I thought I did a pretty good job. So I asked this fellow, you know, why did he fail me for my driving test? So he says, there were two things he did wrong. He said, number one, you went over the speed limit. You went speeding down the road. It was only allowed to go 30, you went 40. Okay, not bad. That was one thing. And the second thing is, it was when you came to a roundabout, you stopped there for too long, you waited for too long for all the cars to go through, and you didn't go in. That's called undue hesitation. That's what it's called. So you went speeding, and you went undue hesitation. I thought to myself, wow, this is a message the Rebbeinu Shlomo is sending us. On the one hand, a person mustn't hesitate. A person has to constantly grow and constantly keep on walking. Don't stop for a moment. We are here in this world to grow, to constantly grow. Undue hesitation is something which is not recommended. At the same time, don't overspeed. Don't go over the speed limit. When you go, take everything. You have to go step by step, another little step, another little step. You can't jump and go. That was one of the messages. Remember another time going through, there was an advert on the street. It said, cherish every moment. So again, I thought to myself, this is the Rebbe Shlom sending us a message that every single moment we're on this world has to be cherished. It's something you could do. Nothing is, every single moment has to be cherished. It's a moment that you could use for eternity, you could invest in it, or something which is unbelievable. This is what the B'Shem Tov is teaching us, that every little thing that comes from, it could come in many, many different formats. But everything is inspiration, it's a message which the Rebbe Shlom is sending us. But it goes very often, it goes a lot deeper than that. The famous B'Shem Tov says, Chazal HaGdoshim tell us, B'chol yoim bas kol yoitzes v'emeres oy lehem lebriye le'melboyne shel Torah. Every single day, a baskol is like a voice that comes from heaven that tells us, woe on the briyas, on the people that they do not respect the Torah, and they don't respect the Torah. Oy lehem lebriyas me'elboyne shel Torah. In other words, it's sending people a wake-up call. Why didn't you do something about it? You know, you're not respecting Torah the way you have to do it. So the obvious question is, if it's true that every single day a voice comes out from heaven and tells us you have to respect the Torah, then how come none of us hear it? And more than that, what's the point in giving out a heavenly voice if no one's able to hear it? If the whole point is to try and wake us up, then how come we don't hear it? Then what's the whole point of it? No one's able to hear it anyway. And if someone does say that he managed to hear the voice, then he probably has to go into a home. Because what's going on here? Says the Baal Shem Tov, says the Moed Yigzach. He says as follows. He says, every single person hears the voice, but it doesn't hear it in the thing. It's every single person has moments throughout the day that he feels inner calling, he feels that there's something inside him which is calling and telling him, you have to wake up, you have to do something about your life. You can't just continue going the way you are. You have to do something with yourself. This is the heavenly voice which is coming out from Shemayim, and it's telling us to do something about it. Now, even though you don't actually hear it, but the fact that you feel it, this is the baskol which comes out every single day. This is another way that the Rebbeinu Shlomo very often sends us this inspiration. Now, when this inspiration comes, and as we mentioned before, the thing we have to do is, we have to press the link straight away. You have to accept upon yourself to do that tiny, tiny, tiny little step, and take it one step ahead. If once you're in, then you're in. Now, the thing is, with this thing, it's such an unbelievable investment, as we said before, because just by doing a tiny little step, you're able to access all that treasures, which are all waiting for us to take, and all the treasures, the divine assistance, and the siyata d'shamayim that we have. The Amudaik, the Yetzer Hara, does not want Yidden to take this chance and use up this opportunity. He's going to do everything that the person should push it off just that one little minute. I once heard from my grandfather, he said a beautiful word. It says, in the Pasuk says, in the end of Parashas B'Shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, Hoshea benin, Tzai hilochem ba'amolek, mocha unoichi nitzov. That the Pasuk says, you should go out and fight with Amalek, mocha. The next word after Amalek is mocha. So Chazal HaGdoshim tell us that the word mocha could be, you could read it two ways. You could either read it with the beginning of the Pasuk, as if it says, Tzai hilochem ba'amalek mocha, I want you tomorrow and go out and fight Amalek. Or you could read it as part of the next part of the Pasuk. So it says as follows, Tzai hilochem ba'amalek mocha. Could be, it's Torah is telling us a message. I want you to fight with Amalek. What's the Amalek? What's this Amalek? Amalek tells us, Mocha. I had this unbelievable inspiration to accept upon myself to start giving away more time for Torah. Tomorrow, Sunday is a perfect day to start. It's a day, I haven't got work, I've got plenty of time. From Sunday, I'm going to start doing it. Now, it's just not a good day. It's Monday, it's not. From coming Sunday, that's when I'm going to start doing it. From winter holidays, from midterm, from the next time, I had this inspiration of giving money. I'll just wait till this business deal goes through. I'll make a lot of money. I'll have enough money. That's when I'll give. At the moment, it's just not the right time for it. This is all Amalek wants. He wants to push it off one more day. Because Amalek knows that once he's pushed it off even for 1 minute, then you failed. You've missed the link. The link is not there. So the way we have to be a lochem by Amalek is straight away. Do it on the minute, on the moment. You have to do it on the spot. Raishis goyim Amalek is the same thing. The raishis goyim means now. You have to give it. The Amalek wants the moment. That's what he wants. He wants to give him the moment. The next moment he could take for yourself. He wants you to give away the moment because he knows that this moment is the key to success, is the key to to everything we need. Once in the Moedig Avot, he said, the Rebbeinu Shlomo came to Klal Yisrael and he brings down the whole mountain by Bar Sinai, by Matan Torah, and he says to the Yidden, he picks up the mountain on top of them and tells them, if you're going to be able to cover the Torah, fine. If not, Shom Tahayi Kaviraschem. It's a very interesting notion, Shom Tahayi Kaviraschem. there is going to be your kvura. You're going to be buried. Why does it say there? He should have said that here, underneath this mountain. This is where you're going to be buried. It says no. Shom Taikavirashem. Sending us a message. Very often people say, when I'm going to get to the next stage in life, that's when I'm going to become a better person. That's when I'm going to start learning only tomorrow, next week, next moment. Shom, someone who says there or then Taikavirashem. He's going to be buried. There's nothing going to be left of this person because he's losing out on all these unbelievable opportunities that come his way. He has to take each opportunity that eventually sends his way and he has to use it to the fullest. This was the Tana on the Nasiim. The Nasiim, they made an unbelievable sacrifice. They said that anything which is going to be left afterwards, we're going to give. We're going to do all the filling ins. They had, the problem was one thing. They did not have this thing. If the person has an inspiration, do something about it. So you don't want to give a lot, first give a tiny little thing now. The rest you can give after when you finish off at the end. But first you have to take the moment, press the link, and get in. That's all you have to do. This thing is the Ois Yid. What's the Ois Yid? The letter Yid is a tiny little letter. It's the smallest of all the letters of the entire Aleph Beis. It's a tiny, tiny little letter. But it's interesting is that pink, the letter Yid is called Yid. Yid is, when you describe a Jew, it's called a Yid. So why, from all the letters in the Torah, pink, the letter Yid is called Yid. Why is that? There must be some significance. The Torah is teaching us. What Yidn are made up, Yidn are made from, these tiny little steps, these tiny little sacrifices, these tiny little commitments. This is what makes a Yid. A Yid is made by this tiny little Yid, a tiny little thing. This is what makes a Yid. The Nasiim, they did not use up this opportunity. They did not use up this thing. So what they were missing is this tiny little Yid. Rav Shlomo said, you did not do the Yid. I'm going to take the little Yid out of your name. So I'm going to spell the word Nasiim without the Yid. This is the message that is telling us. And this, I think, is the answer to the question we started off. You have two Yidin here. Both started off on the same grounds, they started off with the same background, they had the same IQ, they had the same abilities, the same aspirations and inspirations. How come that one of them managed to grow tremendously and the other one didn't? The answer is very simple. There's one person who at every time when he had an inspiration, whether it was a lecture, whether it was something he saw on a sefer, whether it was something the times, events, times of the year, different events, things that happened, or whether it was messages that he heard from Goyim, and obviously from Eden also, and whether it was the inner calling that he felt every single day, every single time when he had this little thing, this inspiration, he said, I'm going to move a tiny little speck, I'm going to do the Chiddush al-Machad. So what happened is, he went, he pressed the link, he was in. Once he was in, he was able to grow. He had access to all the treasures and everything he needed. I'm going to conclude this final story that I once heard from Reb Chaim Kreiswit. Chaim Kreiswit, he was the Ruf in Antwerp. He was a Ruf in Antwerp, and he was a tremendous, he had an unbelievable memory. He was able, basically a photographic memory, he was able to remember everything he ever saw. Actually remember him. He used to give drashas, he used to give lectures, he used to simply like, without having a gemur in front of him, he used to like read out the lines as if he has it in front of him. He was a tremendous, tremendous memory. When he was a young boche, before the war, before the Second World War, he met a Yid. And the Yid knew him, and he knew that he was a trustworthy person, and he said, I have to tell you something. He says, times are bad. You can see that things are not going for the good. And the direction it's going, it looks like that the Second World War is coming. Who knows if I'm ever going to survive or not. I want to tell you one little secret. I have put away a tremendous, tremendous amount of money in a Swiss bank. And in order to access that account, you need a special code. Special code, which obviously only I know. And I have no idea if I'm going to be able to survive or not. So I want to teach you this code of this Swiss bank account, that just in case Chas v'Shalom doesn't survive the war, then at least if you see any of my kids and my descendants, you'll be able to give them over this code. Alright, so he told him the code, and he memorized, talking about memorizing, someone just told me the other day, he said that Reb Chaim Kreiswit once came over to a person and he asked him for a telephone number. So he told him the telephone number, so he wanted to memorize it. So what he said is, he took, let's say, the letters 020, so 02, He remembered a sugya in Daf Beis in Masechet Shabbos, so he thought about the sugya. Then 08, so he remembered a sugya on Daf Ches, which is the 8th Daf in a different Masechet. And then he went to the entire telephone number, he put together all different sugyas in Shas, and he made a whole pshetl to connect all these sugyas. So this way, when it came to remember, then he remembered the thing. He just had to remember the different sugyas, and he was able to remember the telephone number. That's the way he used to do it. Akhmona, he probably did the same thing with this code of the Swiss bank. And
what is it?
What happened is, so he went through the wall, and this other fellow Nebuch did not survive the wall. And Reb Chaim Kreisler, as we know, he survived the wall. So of course, after the wall, he said he has to go out on a search, has to find the descendants of this person. Although waiting to, he looked around all over the place to try and find someone with that name of that person from that town, to no avail. He didn't find anyone. Years passed. I think it was about 10 or 15 years after the wall. He was once sitting on a train, and opposite him is this schnorrer sitting there, like this poor beggar that was sitting and going around collecting for money. And he even came over to him to ask for a donation to buy a train ticket. He didn't have money for a train ticket. All right, so he bought a train ticket, he gave him the money, and he's sitting next to him. And he's talking to him, so he asks, Chaim Kreisler, asks his fellow, you know, what's your name? So he says, my name is this and this and this. And it was exactly the same name as this fellow he had met before the war. So he told them, are you by any chance any related to that person thing? That person, of course, he's my father. Is he your father? Chaim Kreisler jumps up and says, for years and for years and for years I've been looking for you. You have to know that you're a billionaire. Billionaire, and I haven't even got money to pay for the train ticket, never mind billionaire. Says he. Your father, before the war, he gave me over the code of the bank account in Switzerland. He left over a huge, huge amount of money, and it's all yours. He says, I'm going to give you over the code, you go to Switzerland, and you're going to be able to access all the money. That's what he did. He told him, he gave him the code. He went to Switzerland, and this fellow became a billionaire overnight. Billionaire, that's a true story. This fellow was walking around for years and for years and for years, not knowing that he's one of the wealthiest people in the world. He thought, he looked, he viewed himself as if he's a poor beggar. Every single one of us are sitting on bank accounts in Switzerland. We are sitting on tremendous rochnistige bank accounts with divine assistance, yet the Shemaya strength to be able to access and to get whatever we want to get. But we just simply have to know the code. We have to know how to use the key. We have to know the key is very simple, as we said before. We have to press that link straight away. You press that link straight away, you're in the Swiss bank account and you can access everything you know. I should take health, we should use the opportunity the way we have to, and we should steig the way we're meant to, and we should use up the lesson from the Nesiim and actually grow the way we're meant to grow. Thank you.